Name of Jesus this afternoon. So we continue in Matthew chapter 22. When a brother called me and asked if I would share on this topic, excuse me, Brother Ed, when I said share, when I was asked to preach on this topic, I thought, yeah, this is, I knew what he meant. And as I got to studying and I got to thinking about it, I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm not so sure what he meant after all. Is he talking about the second commandment as in reference in the New Testament? Or is he talking about the second commandment as in reference in the Old Testament? Because they are different. In Matthew chapter 22, and verse 39 says, and the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you look in the Old Testament, you don't find that commandment listed in the what we consider the Ten Commandments. The second commandment is thou shalt not bow down. No. Nah, I got myself mixed up. First commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. The second commandment is, thou shalt not make any graven images, correct? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. I need to read a couple of those verses there. Exodus chapter 20. Begin reading at verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself, and so on. The second commandment, as listed here in Matthew, doesn't appear there. So I was glad when I saw a program and it had a scripture verse with it that I was on the right track. And as we look at there's other passages in the New Testament in Mark chapter 12, I believe it's the exact same illustration there, the exact same happening, because it talks about the exact same things prior to. Here in Matthew, it talks about the tribute money and the verses preceding that, the resurrection, the tribute money, and then the verses following that, it talks about the son of David. And in Mark, it has the same continuity. But in Luke, and I'd like to turn to the passage in Luke. And last evening, Brother Gerald used this as a devotional, and I really appreciated him sharing this because it saves me the time of reading the whole passage here and also of expounding on the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan. But in Luke here, it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Here it is the lawyer that is saying what the first and the second commandment are. In Matthew and in Mark, the account is Jesus referring to the first and the second commandment. I don't know if it's the same situation recorded in Luke or not. And I'm not going to make a big issue of it. It's just interesting to me that both Jesus and the lawyer refer to these two commandments as being the first commandment and the second commandment. The linking together of our love to God and our love for our neighbor or our love for our fellow man. It seems to be a link that was made by the Jewish people. And brothers and sisters, I believe it is rightly linked that way. And I believe that that link should not stop with the Jewish people, but that link is very important for us today. If we profess and we confess that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, then we're going to love our neighbor. We're going to love our fellow man. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Familiar verses. I don't plan on bringing anything new to you this afternoon, but I want to remind us of what the Word of God says. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. If we love Him because He first loved us. This is speaking of our relationship to God. We understand that. We understand that God's love came first. God loved us, and we love Him because He loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The Word of God simply states that if we say that we love God and we don't love our brother, we're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? There's a link. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. There's not a long discourse there as of saying, well, there's some loopholes here. You know, if your brother doesn't quite do what God says he's supposed to do, then you have a right to kind of push him off. Or if your brother slanders you, then you have a right No, it doesn't say that. It just simply says that if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. And we have this commandment that if we love God, we love our brother also. So now, having looked at some scripture verses here as a basis for this message this afternoon, let's get a little more practical. How hard is it to love ourselves? Oh, you hear some people say sometimes, oh, I really hated myself for that. You know, maybe they did something that they didn't, you know, afterwards they thought, well, you know, that wasn't very nice or that wasn't very, very good, you know, and I really hated myself for that. Well, is that really what we mean? I think I know what they're saying, but you know, how hard is it to love ourselves? You know, we think pretty much of ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We feed ourselves. When we're hurt, we take care of ourselves, and that's when we're hurt physically or emotionally or you know whatever. We kind of take care of ourselves, and you know. But going a little bit deeper than that. We know why we do the things we do. We know why we make the decisions we make. We know the motives that we have. We understand all those things. If we love our neighbor, our brother, our sister, our neighbor. And it doesn't just stop with brothers and sisters in the church. This verse here specifically says, thou shalt love thy neighbor. It doesn't say you're supposed to love your brother or your sister in the Lord. It says your neighbor. And I think it specifically says that so that we understand that it doesn't just mean within the Christian circle. The passage in Luke talks about a Samaritan. A Samaritan did good to a man that we assume was a Jew. The Jews did not consider the Samaritans within their Christian circle or their religious circle. So you see, it goes outside of those lines. But if we really love our neighbor, are we willing to extend to them the same benefit of the doubt that we give to ourselves when we have motives for doing something? You know, we're sure we have the proper motive, and we look at other individuals and we say, well, you know, I'm not too sure about that. You know, you better check your motives. You know, we don't understand what was going through that person's mind. We don't understand the thought pattern, the thought that they put into that. We don't even understand the amount of prayer that they may have put into something before they made a decision. And we're pretty quick to judge. We're pretty quick to say, well, you know, that's pretty far off base there, you know, brother. How far do you think Abraham's family thought he was off base? I don't know how much he said to them about it, but how far do you think Abraham's family thought he was off base when he took his son, took him up there in the mountain, and was going to sacrifice him? That's a pretty radical move. You know, there's something that, Abraham, are you sure? Are you sure that you understood God right? You know, that's what the heathen did back to the land that God brought you out of. They sacrificed their children to their gods. God brought you out of that. Now you're going back and doing the same thing. What's wrong with you? We can look at our brother or our sister or our neighbor that same way and judge them. Now let's turn that around a little bit. If they would be looking in on us and judging us, what type of response would we want from them? What type of consideration would we want from them? The verses here in Matthew say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I may be going a little bit off base here. I may be taking the lid off the can of worms. And there may be times that we have to approach our brother, our sister, or maybe even our neighbor and question and have them think and consider what they're doing. But can we approach them? Can we approach them in situations of life? Or are we willing to approach them in situations of life the way we would want to be approached in that same situation? It's something for us to think about, brothers and sisters, and I think sometimes that we forget. We forget that we're dealing with other human individuals that are made up of the same thing that we're made up of. We heard the brother this morning talking about emotions. We're dealing with individuals, our neighbors, have the same type of emotions and feelings that we do. And if we're not willing to reckon with that, if we're not willing to approach them the way we would want to be approached, then I'm afraid that we're not living up to this second commandment. If the second commandment is a challenge to us, does that mean we're not living a victorious Christian life? We need to remember, we need to realize that we are still in the flesh and are tempted to be proud, selfish, and unconcerned about others. We are going to be tempted to do that. And the temptation to not love our neighbor as ourselves is like any other temptation. The temptation is not the sin. It's when we yield to that temptation and treat our neighbor disrespectfully that it becomes sin. So just because, you know, sometimes we look at, you know, something happens and say, well, where did that come from? Why was I tempted with that? I never expected that. I'm not that type of person. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember, Satan is going to tempt us. We are in the flesh. And we are going to be tempted to mistreat our neighbor. But what is our action? What do we do? What are some of the situations that we might find ourselves in where we need to stop and consider our neighbor? You know, the one that tries me, I believe, the hardest of any is when you're out there driving on the highway. And I'll be humble enough to admit that I haven't always been victorious over that temptation, especially when I was driving truck in New York City. Everybody's time is more important than yours. Everybody needs to get to their destination quicker than you need to get to yours. And they're sure that little space that you're leaving so that you have enough of time to react and brake, you're leaving that just for them to cut in front of you so that they can go on the brakes really hard because there's no gap like that in the lane beside you and they want to get off at this exit right here. And it's just very easy. It's very easy to just reach up and grab that rope that's hanging down and just blow that horn. Or it's very easy to show your frustration by just staying right there that you can barely see them out of the hood of the truck. Now what happens? That person that I cut off, that I passed and cut in front of, they see you. They see your appearance. Maybe it's not a truck. Maybe it's the black car you're driving. And they see your wife sitting beside you, headship veiling. They see you. And then the next Saturday, they meet some Mennonites on the street corner handing out tracts. And they walk by, they lift up their head and they look the other way and they just walk on by and we wonder, boy, that person is hard. And it might be because you didn't love your neighbor as yourself. Brothers and sisters, we leave a testimony. We leave a testimony by our response and our love to those people who are around us. The story there in Luke of the man that fell among the thieves and the Samaritan that came along and helped him, it doesn't say that they knew each other. It doesn't say that the Samaritan lived in the house next door to this man that fell among the thieves. It doesn't say that he recognized him as, oh, that's my neighbor. I need to help him. What it does say is that he saw a person in need. He saw a person that could not help themselves, and he went and he helped them. And our brother gave us a good explanation of how he went about doing that and the things that he did. Do you and I take those opportunities to love our neighbor as ourselves? I've tried to give this illustration in third person and it doesn't always work, so I'll just say it as it was. I don't say it for any glory to myself, but I say it to point out what little things that we do what type of an impact that may have on somebody else's life, for good or bad. I remember one night when I was a young person, my girlfriend and my sister and I, and I think there was a cousin along with us, we were going to go shopping. We had our plans, what we were going to do. And just as we were getting off of the highway to go to where we were going to go shopping, we come around this long sweeping curve on this ramp, and here along the side of the road was a pickup truck with a piece of farm machinery hooked to the back of it, had a flat tire on the piece of farm machinery. So I knew the man didn't have a spare. You know, if it would have been a pickup flat tire, he probably had a spare. But it was on the piece of farm machinery, he had a flat tire, and he was standing there looking at it, and well, we went on down at the bottom of the ramp was a traffic light. We got down to the bottom of the ramp, and something just, you know, within me, you drove right by him, and you didn't help him. So I looked over at my girlfriend and the others that were with me, and I said, you know, I'm going to go back and help that man. So I backed up, and I got out of the car and went back, and we talked a little bit there, and he said, well, he doesn't have a spare. He guesses he's just going to have to let this piece of machinery sit right here. Well, it was barely off the ramp. I mean, we come around the curve, and there it was. You know, it was just barely off the ramp, and it was starting to get dark. And so I said, well, I can take you down the street here, and we can see, I mean, there's a tire shop down here. I'm not sure if they're open anymore, but we can go down there, and we can check. So he gets in the car, and we head down there, and he went in. They were open yet, thankfully. He went in, and after a while, he came back out, and he said, yeah, he said, they're going to help me out, but he said, I don't have enough of money in my wallet. I was wondering if there would be a possibility that we could, that we could help him out, and he would get our address, and he would send me a check. And I said, yeah, sure. I said, how much do you need? And we got the money together, he said, yep, they'll take me out. They'll take me along back out when they go out with the service truck, and they'll take care of the tire. I said, are you sure? You know, we don't need to go back out and make sure that everything. No. He said, they'll take care of it. I said, okay. So we left. I had the man's name. That's all I had. I didn't have a phone number or an address for him. He had my address. I said something to somebody not too long after that, and they said, you sure you're going to get your money? You know, that was the first it occurred to me that I might not. Maybe I was a little naive in my youth, but no, it had never really occurred to me that I handed out money here and I might not get it back. But I got my check. I got the money. And I had kind of forgotten about the whole thing. Until sometime later, I met somebody. I'm not sure if they came to our church or if I was somewhere, but somewhere along the line I met somebody. And we introduced ourselves and we were talking a little bit, and he said, what'd you say your name was? And I told him again, he said, and he recounted his story. He said, was that you? I said, yeah, it was. He said, well, you know what? He said, that man was living a very discouraged and depressed life. And things were not going well for him. And he got a flat tire and he was sitting beside the road. And it was almost the last straw. And then what was the last straw is when he saw a carload of Mennonites going by and they didn't even stop and help him. But he said, you came back and you helped that man. And he said, that was an encouragement for him. He said, people do care. I had no idea. But You know, we never know if we see somebody in need what it's going to do for them. What is it going to do for someone else? And that is where it comes into loving our neighbor as ourselves. What would you want somebody to do when you're in that situation? How much would you like somebody to express their love to you or their concern for you? There's another situation that we might find ourselves in that loving our neighbor as ourselves could be something we need to stop and think about, and that is our inconsiderate boasting and actions in our spiritual life. We profess to be strong Christians, and we can handle things, and we're mature, and these things, you know, and what about brother or sister, or maybe even somebody from the world? You know, they look in on us and say, well, yeah, that kind of life is okay for you. You were raised that way. I think about Paul when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, if meat make my brother to offend or to stumble, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. We're strong. We can handle these things. I can go here and it doesn't bother me. I can do this. I can read this book. And I'm mature enough. I can handle it. I can sort out the good and the bad. But you have a weaker individual who has a conscience against that type of thing. And are we loving our brother? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Are we leaving a testimony of love and respect and consideration for those around us? How many times have we, by our conviction, by our light, by our testimony, blinded other people? I think back to an illustration that I heard years ago that an older brother gave when he was talking about our personal convictions. And you know, we can make a pretty big issue about our personal convictions. And he likened it unto a person driving down the highway at night. And they had their lights on high beam. You know, and they can see where they're going. The road is clear. You know, the lights are shining brightly. And they, you know, they're driving down the highway. They can see the potholes. They can see the curves. They can see the ditches on both sides. You know, and everything's fine. But when they come towards somebody else, you put your lights on low beam, don't you? So you don't blind that other person. Their lights help illuminate the road so that you can see where you're going and you can safely pass each other. But if you both leave your lights on high beam, what happens? You can blind each other and you can cause a catastrophe. I'm not saying that we throw aside our convictions, but I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that if we have convictions, we are bound to live by them, because that is the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. And our conviction, my conviction, may be a little bit different than your conviction. But if I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to preach my conviction and saying, this is the only way to be right, I can cause a spiritual catastrophe in somebody else's life. Am I willing to love my neighbor as myself and respect the convictions that they have? Turn to Luke chapter 6. There'd be many other things we can look into, and many other situations that we can look at that would be illustrations of loving our neighbor as ourselves. But in closing, I'd like to read a few verses in Luke chapter 6, begin reading at verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, and ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.